The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the November-December issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're going to continue with the World Cup and rooting for, and if you hear your particular country, oh, well, space. Pay special attention. We're beginning here on page 44. Canada. Well, if you are a super chill, since the World Cup is being held in the desert, it was moved to the winter months. Canada has clinched its berth at home in March, when there was no snow on the field. But on the date of its last World Cup group match, December 1st, the low temperature back in Edmonton, the hometown of star winger Alphonso Davies, averages a bone-chilling 8.6 degrees. Davies isn't a complete stranger to warm weather, though. He was born in the African nation of Ghana before his family emigrated to Canada. Now the 22-year-old carries the hopes of the coolest team in the field. Qatar. If you like noobs, the hosts who qualified automatically are the only team in the tournament that is making its World Cup debut. Qatar is ranked just 50th in the world, but enters the competition with lofty expectations. Only one host nation, South Africa in 2010, has failed to get past the first round of play. Iran. If you're into fast cats, the Asiatic cheetah is one of the rarest animals on the planet. There are believed to be around 100, all of which live in Iran. At the 2014 World Cup, Iran wore jerseys with the silhouette of the cat, which can run at speeds of up to 80 miles per hour. Alas, it didn't bring the squad much luck. Iran had one draw and two losses in group play. In five cup appearances, the team has won just 2 of 15 games. If you do decide to pull for Iran, keep this in mind. No matter how well things are going, don't give another fan a thumbs-up sign. It's considered an obscene gesture in Iranian culture. Senegal. If you want to honor a good guy, Sadio Mane is one of the best players in the world, but he's even better off the pitch. He was presented with the inaugural Socrates Award at the Ballon d'Or ceremony for his charity work, including donating more than $1 million to help fund a school and a hospital in his home village. Costa Rica. If you enjoy being happy, in its most recent rankings, the Happy Planet Index named Costa Rica the happiest country on the earth. The survey considers things like life expectancy, well-being, and carbon footprint. Los Ticos might crash out of the tournament, but they and their fans will likely go out with smiles on their faces. England. If you thrive on drama, England has a way of finding itself in penalty kick shootouts at major tournaments, and they often don't end well. The Three Lions lost 7 of their first 8 before winning 1 at the 2018 World Cup, then reverted to their old ways and lost the final of the European Championship in 2021 by missing their last 3 spot kicks. Mexico, if you'd wear a Yankees hat at Fenway Park, the United States has no greater rival than its neighbor, and said rivalry is not always friendly. In 2002, the United States bounced Mexico in the round of 16 in a game that featured 10 yellow cards, plus a red earned by Mexico's captain for a headbutt. Brazil. If you don't care for last names, Brazil, which has won a record 5 World Cups, has a long history of fielding players who are so good that they require only one name. Pelé, Ronaldo, Ronaldinho, Neymar, Fred. The next generation includes Anthony and Rodrigo, Belgium. If you appreciate passing, goal scorers get the glory, but great passers are what make the beautiful game so beautiful. And no one passes better than Kevin De Bruyne, who has 11 assists in 13 games for Man City, South Korea. If you're into giant killers, look out, Portugal. Your final group game is against South Korea, a team with a history of shattering the dreams of European powerhouses. At the 2018 Cup, it bounced Germany with a 2-0 win in the group final. It was the first time the Germans, who were the reigning champs, were eliminated in the first round since 1938. Both South Korean goals came deep into stoppage time. The second was scored in the 96th minute by Son Heung-min, who was the co-top scorer last year in the Premier League for the Tottenham Hotspur. Spain. If you want to make sure you see at least one big game, since teams are seeded for the group draw, it's rare to see juggernauts meet until the knockout stage. But on November 27th, Spain, the 2010 champ, will take on Germany, the 2014 winner, in the most anticipated first-round clash. Croatia. If you like chess, wonder where that ultra-cool checkerboard on the Croatian flags and jerseys comes from? According to legend, in the 10th century, a Croatian king earned his freedom after being captured by beating a Venetian doge at chess. Wales. If you have an independent streak, making its first appearance since 1958, Wales is part of the United Kingdom along with England, Scotland, and Northern Ireland. But all four insist on competing individually in football to preserve their national identities. Poland. If you dig a goal machine, he might not get as much attention as flashier strikers, but few in history have been more effective than Robert Lewandowski. Since 2008, he has scored more than 480 goals at the club level and added 75 more for Poland. At age 34, he's not slowing down. In his first 13 games in this season for Barcelona, he scored 14 times. Ecuador. If you crave consistency, since it's located right on the equator, as its name implies, days in Ecuador hardly vary in length. The sun always rises around 6 a.m. and sets 12 hours later, so you'll always know what to expect. Uruguay. If you have a sense of history, the first World Cup was held in 1930 in Uruguay. Only 13 teams competed, and the hosts beat Argentina 4-2 in the final. The United States finished third. Uruguay, which added a second title in 1950, remains a member of a very elite club. In 21 tournaments, only 8 nations have won the cup. Netherlands. If you want to stand up for human rights, Qatar has awarded the right to host the World Cup in 2010 in a controversial decision. There were allegations that some FIFA members who determined the host were bribed. Other controversies included the host country's intolerance and the gross mistreatment of laborers used to construct venues. Few people in the sport have spoken up, but one notable exception is the Netherlands coach Louis van Gaal. His team is talented enough to make a run deep into the tournament, which should keep Qatar's abominable human rights record in the spotlight. Argentina. If your team Messi, for the better part of 2 decades, the most interesting debate in soccer has been centered on a single question: Messi or Ronaldo? Lionel Messi, the Argentinian wizard, is a master dribbler, passer, and goal scorer. Portugal's Cristiano Ronaldo is more physically imposing, but equally adept at making plays and putting the ball in the net. They have never met in a major international competition, But a fan can dream, right? Tunisia, if the force is with you, ever wanted to visit Tatooine? We're guessing the tickets to Luke Skywalker's old stomping grounds are pretty hard to come by, unless you know of a wormhole that will take you to a galaxy far, far away, a long time ago. But maybe consider visiting Tunisia instead. Many scenes in A New Hope were filmed in the country's deserts, and they also provided backdrops in all three of the prequel movies. As for the country's chances on the field, we've got a bad feeling about this. Switzerland. If you have a sweet tooth, no country consumes more chocolate per person than Switzerland. And the nation's chocolate it produces, around 180,000 tons a year, is reputed to be the best in the world. How seriously do the Swiss take their favorite sweet? The country has a chocolate train for enthusiasts. Japan. If you're a gearhead, let's face it, Japan has easily the coolest jerseys on display in Qatar. The crest features a mystical three-legged bird, and the pattern of the blue shirt draws on birds made from origami, the Japanese art of paper folding. Even if the Samari blue get knocked out, they'll look nice doing so. Australia. If you want your coach to have some guts, in a tired all-or-nothing qualifying playoff, Socceroos manager Graham Arnold pulled goalkeeper Matthew Ryan in favor of Andrew Redmayne just before the penalty shootout began. To psych out Peru, it worked, as Redmayne saved the deciding kick. Even cooler, Ryan didn't get upset, hugging his teammate when it was over. Ghana. If you like an underdog, Ghana has had success in previous World Cups, including two wins over the United States and a trip to the quarterfinals in 2010, where they controversially lost to Uruguay when an intentional handball robbed them of the winning goal. But now the Black Stars, named for their flag, enter play in Qatar with the lowest FIFA world ranking in the field, 61st. Denmark. If you're a sucker for heartwarming story, in the summer of 2021 at the European Championship, Denmark midfielder Christian Eriksen collapsed on the pitch. In a frightening scene, he nearly died. Not only has he recovered, but he's thriving. He scored just 2 minutes into his return to international play last March. Saudi Arabia. If you appreciate loyalty, fun fact about Saudi Arabia, which is making its sixth World Cup appearance, every player on the roster piles his trade in the Saudi Professional League. Interestingly, the manager of the national team, Hervé Renard, is a native of France. The Green Eagles held the United States to a 0-0 draw in both teams' final pre-cup friendly. Cameroon. If you love a great nickname, the Indomitable Lions. It doesn't get much better than that. I mean, lions are pretty fierce, but Indomitable Lions? Those are extra awesome. Indomitable means impossible to subdue or defeat, if it hasn't shown up on a vocab test lately. In 1990, Cameroon became the first African team to make the quarterfinals. Portugal. If your team Ronaldo... Okay, back to this Ronaldo versus Messi thing. Yes, their respective resumes are nuts, and their stats are mind-boggling. But neither has won a World Cup, and this could be the last chance for each. Messi, who won his only major international trophy at the 2021 Copa America, has announced this will be his last cup, though he also retired back in 2016. Ronaldo, who led Portugal to glory in the 2016 European Championship, hasn't said he's done with international football, but he'll be 41 when the next World Cup rolls around. So we'll repeat the pressing question. Who you got? Serbia. If you want to be part of a youth movement looking for a breakout star, how about Dusan Blahovic, the 22-year-old striker who recently transferred to Juventus, has scored 7 goals and 12 games for a talented Serbia side since the start of 2021. Morocco. If you have a soft spot for old friends, Morocco was the first country to officially recognize the United States back in 1777 after it declared its independence from England. Thanks, guys. And these old friends are sneaky good. The first African team to get past the first round in 1986, Morocco is currently 22nd in the world rankings. Germany. If you want to be part of a youth movement but don't like Serbia, okay, how about Kai Havertz? The 23-year-old striker who recently transferred to Chelsea has scored 8 goals in 20 games for a talented Germany side since the start of 2021. If you're a bandwagon jumper, take off the Tom Brady jerseys, patch, and buck. You're not fooling anyone. Put away the Warriors t-shirt. The time has come to don your Les Blues gear. The 2018 champs are loaded, including Kylian Mbappe, the world's best player. No one? If you like everyone or root for everyone, if you like no one, the point is you don't have to cheer for a team every time you watch a match. Sit back and take in the beauty of the beautiful game and the spectacle that is the World Cup. And there's an added bonus. You won't be bummed when your team gets knocked out of the competition. Trending. Haley Jones, Stanford Cardinal point guard. The senior do-it-all superstar will take in even bigger roles, primarily ball handler, leader, happiness supplier, this year for one of the nation's top teams. Growing up with parents who were basketball coaches, Haley Jones was nonetheless a multi-sport athlete. Throughout her youth, in addition to playing hoops, she dabbled in soccer, volleyball, gymnastics, golf, and swimming. That's part of why Haley and her parents see basketball as something she does and loves, but not exclusively who she is. Picture here on page 48 of Haley going up for a layup for the Stanford Cardinals. Looks like they're playing against University of Connecticut. Moving on to page 50, her father, Patrick, says Haley was an inviting presence no matter the activity. He recalls her always looking to include teammates as much as possible in drills and organizing games at school. She has been the same way in her time at Stanford, where she is now a senior leader on one of the best teams in the nation. Joan seldom raises her voice. Her family instilled in her a motto, calm is strength. And through 3 collegiate seasons, Coach Tara Vanderveer says Jones has never really shown frustration. Not that she hasn't had reason to be frustrated. As a freshman in 2019-2020, Jones saw her season cut short by a knee injury. Then the COVID-19 pandemic canceled the NCAA tournament, which cost her teammates a chance to play for the national title. As a sophomore, Jones bounced back from her injury in a big way. She averaged 13.2 points, 7.4 rebounds, and 2.9 assists as Stanford romped to a 31-2 record in the national title. After scoring 24 points in the semifinals and 17 points in the championship game, Jones was named Most Outstanding Player of the Final Four. Last year brought frustration, though. Make that the potential for frustration. The Cardinal looked like a good bet to repeat until they ran into UConn in the Final Four and had an off day. The Huskies won 63-58, handing Jones her first postseason loss. It could have been a tough pill to swallow, and it was for a little while. But Jones and her teammates had a special weapon for dealing with defeat, their happiness professor. For the past few years, Vanderveer has had Frederick Luskin, an educator whom she met at an athletic department function, speak to her team. He preaches messages of positivity. Before the UConn game, the team spoke to him remotely. His message, not for a second believe that you have failed, even if you lose the next game. Acknowledge success and try to extend it rather than being afraid of failure. After the loss, Jones says, that was a time where it could have been like, wow, forget everything, Fred said. None of that meant anything to me. It was all a show. Instead, the players didn't let negativity creep in. They were bummed, sure, but it was because the seniors of the team would be moving on. In the locker room, it was full of sadness, says Jones, but I think it was sadness that was more than a basketball season ending. It was a sadness that was more so centered around that group of girls. That was an end of an era, and the start of a new era, and one that will be centered on Jones herself. Entering this season, expectations remain high. As a team, we have the same goals every year, Jones says. It's an undefeated regular season. Win the Pac-12 regular season. Win the Pac-12 title. Win the regional. Win the Natty. With both of last year's starting guards gone, the 6'1" Jones, a positionless unicorn who can play anywhere on the floor, will transition to the team's lead ball handler. To prepare, Jones spent the offseason working on her dribbling and perimeter shooting. She trained with skills coach Packy Turner, who has helped other high-profile court creators like Stephen Curry and Sabrina Ionescu. Vanderveer tosses out guards such as Las Vegas Aces star Chelsea Gray and former United States Olympian Teresa Edwards as a possible models for Jones's game. She's kind of the Magic Johnson-type point guard, Vanderveer says, a big, strong, physical player that can go to the basket. The Cardinal have four seniors, and they've already got a nickname. They call themselves the Funky Four. Guard Hannah Jump and forwards Fran Bellaby and Ashton Pretchell are the other three in the group, along with Jones, the lone returning captain from last season. In that role, Jones has worked to foster individual relationships with each of her teammates, seeking to understand everyone's styles and how they like to receive feedback. When you're playing with people that you love, you're going to want to work that much harder for them, she says, echoing sentiments voiced by Luskin. She also hopes to build a level of trust with her peers so that if I need to yell at them, they'll be able to take it and know she wants what's best for me. She loves me, and this is for the betterment of the team. Whether the Cardinal can make up for the losses from last year's team and make another title run remain to be seen. What's certain, though, is that with Jones leading the way, it will be a fun ride, even if there's cause for frustration. Says the senior, we do everything with joy because we all love what we're doing and we love each other. Do you remember who's who? Well, let's review. We have Julio Rodriguez, Seattle Mariners outfielder. His height is 6'3". His weight is 228 pounds. He was born December 29, 2000, in his hometown, Lama de Cabrera, Dominican Republic. As a rookie in 2022, Rodriguez led the Mariners to their first playoff appearance in 21 years. He hit 28 home runs and stole 25 bases, and he finished second to Juan Soto in the home run derby. During the season, he signed a 14-year contract extension worth up to $400 million. Did you know, though, with Seattle making the playoffs in 2022, the longest postseason drought in the Big Four men's sports now belongs to the Sacramento Kings, 16 years. Sophia Smith, Portland Thorns, forward. Her height is 5'6". She was born August 10, 2010, her hometown, Windsor, Colorado. Smith scored 14 goals and added 3 assists in 18 games in her second NWSL season. She was named a finalist for the league's MVP award. Smith has also scored 11 goals in 25 appearances for the United States women's national team, and she led Stanford to the 2019 NCAA championship. Did you know, though, that Smith received her first cap against the Netherlands in 2020, becoming the first player born in the 21st century to play for the USWNT. Jesus Ferreira, USMT forward. His height is 5'9". His weight is 150 pounds. He was born December 24th, 2000. Hometown, McKinney, Texas. In June 10th, 2022, Ferreira scored 4 goals for the United States in a 5-0 win over Grenada in a CONCACAF Nations League match. He has 7 goals and 4 assists in 15 international appearances. Ferreira's club form has been just as impressive. He scored 18 goals for FC Dallas, good for fourth in MLS. But did you know that Ferreira is the 5th United States men player to score 4 times in a game? The first was Archie Stark, who did so against Canada in 1925. Olivia Miles, Notre Dame Fighting Irish guard. Her height is 5'10". She was born January 29, 2003, her hometown, Phillipsburg, New Jersey. In March, Miles became the first freshman to record a triple-double in the NCAA tournament, men's or women's, when she had 12 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists against UMass. The game was Miles' big dance debut. She finished the season second in the nation in assists per game, 7.4, and led the Fighting Irish in scoring, 13.7. But did you know Notre Dame is coached by Niall Ivey, whose son, Jaden, was drafted 5th by the Detroit Pistons in 2022? And now let's go all the way to the end zone. What's the call? That stings. Buzzbees are playing Whitney's Weevils in baseball at the SI Kids Treehouse. Buzz is up at bat for the Bees with Whitney pitching. Attempting to catch his friend off guard, Buzz tries to bunt for a hit. Whitney picks up the ball and tries to throw it to the Kip, who is covering first. Buzz, however, is running inside the baseline along the infield grass, which makes it hard for Whitney to throw it to Kip. Whitney's throw ends up hitting Buzz in the back. Whitney says Buzz should be out because he was blocking her throw. Buzz says his back hurts and Whitney should buy him ice cream. Is he out? Well, what do you think? Was Buzz out? Since Buzz ran inside the baseline, he's guilty of interference on the throw. He's out. We've run out of the time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. The number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.